series 2 weeks ago called What to Do When. And we started out with this question, what to do week number one when I don't know what to do? What to do when I don't know what to do? Have you ever been there before? Like, boy, I got a lot of stuff I got to deal with here, but I'm not sure what to do. Well, we addressed that in the first week, praise the Lord. So I encourage you to pick up a CD from that. What to do when you don't know what to do? Last Sunday morning, I was blessed by this myself. What to do when you feel discouraged? Okay. What do you do when you're discouraged? Have you ever been discouraged before? Well, a couple of people. All right. So, you know, there's a temptation to become discouraged when things don't look like they're lining up, right? And that comes to all of us. All right, so there's a biblical way that we can deal with discouragement. And I went into detail about that last week. In fact, every single Sunday, we're taking a new topic, what to do when. Okay, so today I want to talk about what to do when negative thoughts come your way. What to do when bad thoughts come your way. Has anybody ever had a bad thought or two here before? All right. Of course, we all have. What to do when bad thoughts come. Now, what I want to cover today in this time that we have together, three areas of this. Number one, where do these thoughts originate? Okay? Bad thoughts, negative thoughts that come to all of us as believers. Where do these thoughts originate? Number two, I want to talk about, can I control these thoughts? Do I have control over them? Okay? And number three, we want to talk about how to get victory over bad thoughts. Okay? Does that sound good to everybody? Yeah. So we're going to talk about this in that order, all right? So what do you do when bad thoughts come your way? Now, sometimes I've noticed this is that when you first wake up in the morning, that's a lot of times when bad thoughts will come your way because the enemy is behind that. Actually, we'll cover this right now. Bad thoughts, negative thoughts, always originate from Satan and demons and evil spirits. Okay? And so thoughts are, now I used to think back in the day, but when I was first saved, that I didn't realize how the enemy attacked. I was brand new Christian, you know, back in 1979, and I only started walking with the Lord right around 1980. Okay, so it's been a few years, but I really didn't understand where are these. I would get these bad thoughts, and here I am. I'm a Christian. I'm walking with God to the best of my knowledge, you know, and man, I'd get all these horrible thoughts coming at me, you know, about, you know, you can have bad thoughts about yourself. You can have bad thoughts about other people, and you can also have bad thoughts about God. Okay? And but if you don't know the origin of those thoughts, you will think that's just your thought. Are you with me? And when you don't understand that, when you don't are not aware of that, the enemy can take advantage of you and knock you over the head with condemnation. Okay? And I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that helped me so much was I was getting negative thoughts about God when I was first saved. About God. And I was just saved. I was fresh, right out of hell, you know, just got saved, you know, and I'm just being tormented with these thoughts about, and I'm like thinking, why am I thinking these thoughts about God? I mean, I love God with all my heart. I'd be just going about my business, and here comes this thought. Whoa, where'd that come from, you know? Well, see, before I knew any better, I thought that was just my thought. And so I felt low. I felt condemned. Are you with me? And I felt like horrible because I thought, how can I be saved? And I'm thinking these thoughts about God. Like I said, bad thoughts can come about yourself, about others, and about the Lord. That pretty much covers everything. Okay? And I was in a church. Someone invited me to a church. Just happened to be a Rhema graduate that started a church. And Lynn was she was the first member of this particular church back in the day. And that's where we met, in fact. And, you know, the rest is history. But, you know, the pastor was teaching in a way that I had never heard before. And it set me free. It blessed me. It liberated me because he was talking about thoughts and so forth. In fact, while I'm saying that, go over to the New Testament, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. So we're going to talk about this. Where do these thoughts originate? Where do these thoughts come from? It's very important that we recognize the source of these thoughts. And so if you get a bad thought, you get a negative thought about yourself, about others, about the Lord, or whatever, when you recognize where that thing is coming from, it's easier to deal with it. Praise God. Now in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, 2 Corinthians 10, we'll start in verse number 3. Okay? For though we walk in the flesh, Paul said, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, notice that phrase, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought, notice that word, to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In verses 3 through 6, there's three particular words that I want us to focus on right here. And that's this word, thoughts. Number one, if you're taking notes, thoughts. Number two, imaginations. And number three, strongholds. I'll say that again. In these three verses right here, verses 3 through 6, we have the word thoughts, number two, imaginations, and number three, strongholds. All right? Now, we see in this verse of Scripture here how Satan orchestrates his arsenal against all people and, yes, all believers. He comes, you know, we talk about in Ephesians, it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, you know. And Paul talks about putting on the pieces of armor of God, you know, and he talks about putting on the helmet of salvation, which would protect, a helmet protects your brain, your mind, right? Okay. And Satan's number one weapon that he uses to this day since the Garden of Eden is negative thoughts. Negative thoughts. And I'll submit this to you. In fact, I'll just take it to this level here. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, now I could be wrong, but I'm going to step out on the limb and say this. I don't believe that Satan actually appeared to him. He could have. But let me ask you this. If you saw Satan or a demon appearing to you and tried to tempt you, would it be easier to resist it? Of course it would. You'd be like, oh, look who showed up. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, we don't respect the devil. We laugh at him. He's a defeated foe. Amen? Who was it? Smith Wigglesworth, who had 20-some people raised from the dead under his ministry. He was sleeping one night in his bed and he heard this noise. And so he turned his lantern on. He used a lantern. And he looked and he saw Satan sitting in his rocking chair. The devil sitting in his rocking chair. Now most Christians will go, oh my God. You know? And just rise up and make a hole in the wall. Right? But you know what old Mr. Wigglesworth did? He goes, oh, you. And he went, blew the candle out and went back to bed. Now, most Christians, that would freak them out. Like a horror flick. But see, Wigglesworth knew who he was in Christ. And by the way, the devil left after he did that. Okay? But Satan's main arsenal, primarily, that he uses is negative, bad thoughts. You might have come into church today and had all these negative things coming at you about your life, about your circumstance, okay? But there's a process here that we want to see here. In these scriptures right here, Paul says, he starts out with thoughts, number two, imaginations, and number three, strongholds. And so we're talking today, our title is, what to do when you get bad thoughts, how to handle those bad thoughts, all right? So every negative, fear-filled thought that comes to you, its origin is always Satan and demons and evil spirits. The devil comes to you and with a thought and it says, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it physically. You're not going to make it financially. You're not going to make it in this realm and so forth. You know, and it's all fear. It's all negative. Someone says, well, how do you know when the devil's talking to you? You feel fear. You feel fear. See, when God shows up, do you ever notice that when Jesus appeared to the disciples and angels would appear, the first thing they would say was, fear not. Right? They're freaking out, you know. He's walking on the water. Fear not. So when the Lord shows up in your life, which he does every day, I guarantee you the Lord's showing up in your life every day. And the first thing he's going to say to you is, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Resist fear. Amen. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, controlled mind. Glory to God. So let's take this process here again. Thoughts, imagination, strongholds. The devil comes, first of all, with a thought, a bad thought. Number one. Now, if the thought isn't dealt with, number two, it becomes an imagination. So in other words, the thought may come, but then if you dwell on the thought, you begin to imagine. Okay? And it's usually bad stuff. You begin to imagine bad things happening. Now, if the second thing isn't dealt with, the third thing will take place, which is called a stronghold. A stronghold. Now, what does that mean? A stronghold means any thought that has a grip on you day and night. Okay? And by the way, there's also good strongholds. Praise God. The Bible says in Nahum, it says, God is my stronghold. So a stronghold is anything that has a grip or control on your mind. Have you ever tried to convince something to maybe somebody, a family member or something like that, or you're trying to help them, you know, and they just don't see it, and you're trying to convince them of something that they believe is true, which is a lie, all right? Or just anybody for that matter. You're trying to help them, but they don't believe it. Well, you see it as plain as the nose on your face, okay? You see it as the daylight sun, but they don't see it yet, all right? And when thoughts come to us, we have to recognize, first of all, now I remember when I was a kid, on the first jobs that I had, I worked in a grocery store, okay? And I was a stock boy. It was a family-owned business, you know? And this is back in the early 70s, okay? I started working when I was 12 years old, okay? Hadn't stopped since, amen? But my parents taught me some good things there. You know what I mean? If you want something, you got to work for it too. You know what I'm saying? And this is when those bug lights first came out. You know those bug lights? And I would have to, in order to stock the shelves, I would have to go through the deli, you know, where they're cutting their meat and everything, and I would have to go downstairs to get all the stock and everything, bring it back up the steps, you know. But I remember when those lights first came out, and the owner of the grocery store bought one of these massive big lights. I mean, it was about 6 foot long and about 3 feet wide, high, you know. And so, you know, of course, bugs and flies and stuff like that, they're coming in there because there's food in there and so forth. It seemed like every couple of seconds you hear, bzz, 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 you know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, a big bug would get in there, would go, bzz, bzz, you know. He's at the electric chair, you know what I'm saying? And I thought about that. I thought, that's exactly how we need to treat bad thoughts when they come our way. We need to fry those things on contact. Okay? Bzz, oh, I ain't gonna mess, the devil's not going to mess with that anymore. Amen? So I want you to see right here this progression. Satan comes with a thought, a bad thought, a negative thought. You're not going to make it. You're not going to have what you're praying for. Your body's going to get worse. Your finances are going to get worse. Your relationships, you'll never get married. Okay? All kind of negative stuff. The devil brings these thoughts. We have to recognize where the source of this thought is in order to successfully derail that thing from working in our lives. Don't we? I know what I'm talking about. To a certain degree, praise the Lord. So if a thought is not dealt with, it becomes an imagination. If the imagination isn't dealt with, it becomes a stronghold. In other words, a grip on someone's thinking. Yet I've seen when the Lord comes through for someone and their eyes are open and they see, what in the world have I been doing? You know what I'm saying? So this thing about thoughts is really important. Let's go over to John 13 for a minute here. Now, I'm showing you some of the negative things about bad thoughts, but we're going to look at it too in a positive light, because we're told in the Bible to replace bad thoughts with good thoughts from the Word of God. It's called meditation. Now, this is out of the Amplified Translation. This is the woman's translation. It's a little bit more wordy, you know. Anyway. And it says here, I'm just kidding, you know that. I said, Pastor, you sound like a feminist. No, I'm not. I'm just teasing, praise God. In John 13, verses 1 through 2, it says, Now before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his hour had come, and it was his time and for him to leave the world and return to the Father. Having, notice this, greatly loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them and continuously loves them with his perfect love to the end, eternally. Now look at verse 2 is what I want you to see. And during the supper, this is what we call the Last Supper, that when the devil had already put, notice this, the thought of betraying Jesus into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Now who was responsible for the origin of this thought? Was it Judas? No, it was Satan. Okay? Notice the thought of betraying Jesus did not originate with Judas. So the source of thought can come from God or come from the enemy. It's just that simple. Okay? Now, you know as well as I do, that thought was not from God, that Satan had planted in the heart of Judas Iscariot. Now, I like the Amplified because it said that the devil, here's Jesus washing their feet. And by the way, Jesus washed Judas's feet, knowing full well that he was going to turn his back on him and turn him over to the authorities. Now, that's love, isn't it? I mean, how many of us would do that? We'd want to slap them. You know what I'm saying? We'll kill them and tell them, God, he died. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those kind of things, you know. But I want you to see that this thought originated from where? It came from Satan. Now, Judas had, of course, followed Jesus for quite some time here. And he had seen the deliverances that Jesus had experienced throughout his 3.5 years of ministry before he went to the cross and sacrificed himself for us. And on one occasion, Jesus, in his first sermon that he preached there in the city, there was a church that was built on a hill. Remember that? There's a big old hill. It's still there to this day, in fact. And Jesus preached a sermon. They didn't like it. They didn't find it very enthusiastic about it. And so they took him out to throw him headlong over the cliff, his first sermon. Now, I've never had it that bad. Okay. I've had some arrows thrown at me through the years and so forth and ridicules and whatever. But I've never had someone say, you know what, after the service is over, there's a cliff. We're going to throw you off of it. Just saying. Jesus, the Bible says he just walked through their midst. He supernaturally just walked right through them. Jesus was supernaturally protected. So Judas had this thought, thinking, well, I've seen him in tight situations before, and he got out before. No doubt this will be the same. But when he realized that when he betrayed Jesus and they were going through with this and they were going to crucify him, that 30 pieces of silver didn't amount to anything. That's when he went out and he hung himself. Okay? Now, he didn't have to hang himself. He didn't have to commit suicide. Peter denied the Lord too. That's right. And just a side thought here, you know, when Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to Jesus, how many times did Judas or did Peter deny Jesus? Three times, right? Remember when Jesus appeared to Peter, the first thing he said to him, he got him to say it out loud. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Remember that? And he said it three times. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And it disannulled the first things. Well, Peter could have accepted that condemnation. He could have went out and destroyed himself like Judas did. Do you know Judas could have repented? Do you know that? But he decided to punish himself instead. And he's in hell to this day. Didn't have to be that way. But Peter became the great Apostle Peter. And he knew what repentance was. All right? Well, the point I'm trying to make is this, is that getting back to this scripture right here, that this negative thought came to Judas to betray Jesus for what? For 30 pieces of silver. Okay? Was it 30 or 20? I think it was 30. But you know, think about it. Joseph in the Old Testament is a type of Christ. And he was betrayed for silver as well from his brethren. He ends up coming. He threw him into a pit. You know the story. And he goes down to Egypt, you know, and becomes the right under the king down there in Egypt. Praise the Lord, under Pharaoh, number two. And then he became, at the end result, he became the savior of his brethren that tried to kill him and betrayed him. This is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ. Right? They betrayed him. Judas betrayed him. But see, it started with a thought. All right? It comes in the form of a thought, a negative thing. All right? Now, I have counseled people through the years, and I don't do as much counseling now because, to be honest with you, I think when people come to church, they're getting counsel right here in the service. Amen? I believe with all my heart, because I pray about this all the time. I've been doing this for years. That whatever questions that you have, that those things will be supernaturally addressed when you come to church. And a lot of people don't avail themselves to it, so they're not getting answers. But I believe with all of my heart, and that's why we preachers call it rabbit trails. You know, we come over here, we'll start talking about something like, why in the world am I talking about this? Well, what happens most often, more often than not, and this happens to me almost every single time I preach, almost every week, I'll find myself, and I look at my notes, and I thought, I went in a totally different direction than I was supposed to. Now, why is that? Because the Lord knows what people need. And remember the parable of the sheep? Remember that? He said, one went astray. So he left the 99 where they were supposed to be, and he went after the one that went astray. And a lot of times in a message, that's what the Holy Ghost will do, is he'll, for a minute, We'll leave everybody sitting there. It's not that you're not getting blessed by it, but then the Lord will say, come over here and address this issue right here. Why is that? Because God loves you so much, he wants to help you right where you're at. Amen? He wants to help you right where you're at. I was watching Kenneth Copeland last night. Actually, it was Sunday's broadcast. If you have a chance, watch the end of that. Listen to the sermon, but listen to the very end of that sermon. There's a prophecy on there from December 31st, New Year's Eve. And I'll tell you what, it was like Jesus himself just came into the room and just said some words. It was absolutely astounding, wasn't it, Lynn? Well, see, why does God do that? Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. Amen? He wants to give us supernatural answers. Praise God. Now, when the Bible says that the Lord confirms the word with signs following, that's true when it comes to healing and miracles and things like that. But here's another way to look at it, too. When God confirms his word with signs, see, a lot of times we're looking for the spectacular when the supernatural is already there. Do you know the supernatural is right now in this room right now? Now, it may not be, you know, goosebumps and jumping through the hoop, but, you know, God is supernaturally addressing us. And when your need is addressed supernaturally, that may not be spectacular. They may not be fireworks. But the Lord is saying, I'm trying to help each and every person here. Amen? And I love it because when I go to a meeting, you know, and we go a couple of times a year, we go out to get fed ourselves, Lynn and I and our family. We do it. It costs to do it. There's a sacrifice involved, but we have to do it. We've got to get in those meetings and get fed ourselves. Amen? And I make no apologies for it because we have to get fed too. Because if we're not getting fed, how can we give out to everybody else, right? But I'll tell you, every time, and I've said this before, but every time we go to a meeting, I don't care who it is, we pray ahead of time. We say, no, Lord, we're putting a demand on the anointing of God that's on that man or that woman. And whatever it is we need to hear, we need some answers right now. Speak through that man. Speak through that woman. And every single time, I mean every single time, without fail, God comes through. He comes through. Amen? A number of years ago, I had a question in my mind. And I was my first year of Bible school. And I had a question. It was really bothering me because I had this question, you know. And because Lynn, she felt called to the mission field. I felt called to pastor, and yet I felt God bringing us together. So I'm kind of like, how's this going to work out? At least at the time, you know what I'm saying? And I'm in torment about this. I'm like, God, how in the world? I'm just thinking this. Now, I'm in the main auditorium. Is the RCA still there? Still, okay. They probably call it something else. But I was sitting there. This is in 1982, and I was sitting in the auditorium. And there was a guy, one of our instructors, his name was Tom Pickens. And he came out of Fred Price's church in California. And tall black gentleman, just a wonderful anointing on him. The stage is really high, at least back then. It was about this high up to go up the steps. I mean, you're climbing a mountain. I'm sitting down with several hundred people in this auditorium. And he comes running off the stage. I'd never seen him do this before. You know, because he's up on that pulpit, he's standing behind that pulpit every single time he's there. But this time, he comes running, not literally, but he came fast down off the stage. He came over and he stood right in front of me. I was about from here to Shar. And he addressed that very issue. Now, he didn't point his finger at me. He didn't even know he was talking to me, but he was. But the Lord through him was. And the Lord said, some of you, you know, your spouse, you might think they're called, they're in the missions department, but you're in the pastoral department, da, 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 da. And I'm thinking, man, I got hair standing up the back of my neck, you know. And he said, but don't even give it a thought. God's going to work it all out. You're going to have to worry about this for one lick, you know. And that's basically what he said. And then he went back up and finished his lesson. Okay? Well, that wasn't spectacular, but let me tell you something. It was supernatural. It was supernatural. And God, if we're hungry and we're thirsty, you know, you can't minister to everybody. You can only minister to people that are hungry. I wish I could make people hungry, but I can't. Amen? If I could make people hungry, every chair, we would have standing room only right now. I'm telling you that right now. If I could make people hungry. But see, you know, people are trying to, they're trying to work out their problems themselves. They're trying to do this, do that, you know, make this deal, do that. And they're missing out on God's wisdom. Okay? But if we put God first, if we seek Him first, He will add everything to us. He will give us exactly what we need. Amen? Okay, so we see this in the scripture right here. You got a negative example of Judas. And I'm telling you, do you notice the originator of that thought was the enemy, but when he acted on that thought, it ended up destroying his own life. Oh, yeah. It destroyed his own life. There's a scripture in Jeremiah 29. We don't have to turn there, but it says, in essence, the thoughts. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward. We're talking about thoughts, right? God says, I know the thoughts. I think it's Jeremiah 29:11. It says, can you turn there, Josh, for a minute? I think it's Jeremiah 29:11 in the King James. I think this is it. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Here we go. Okay. For I know the thoughts. This is the Lord talking here. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. You ever want to know what God thinks about you? When I was interested in first dating my wife, you know what I wanted to think? What does she think about me? Because that will determine the next step. You understand what I'm saying? Now, right here it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Here's what he says. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, if you want to know what God thinks of you, this is it right here. So we see this is how God views me. This is how God views you. To give you a glorious outcome, an expected end. Now look at the next verse. Go to verse 12 for a minute here. This is after this. It says, then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and hearken unto, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And you shall seek me and shall find me when you search me with all of your heart. Glory to God. Now, this is all in connection here with praying to the Lord when you know that his thoughts are not evil towards you. The devil's thoughts are destructive thoughts. Okay? And it's very, 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 very important that we put God's thoughts in our minds. Because Satan's thoughts are destructive. Aren't they? They're destructive. 2 years ago when I was diagnosed of having a brain hemorrhage, I came this close to leaving this earth. The doctors were even amazed. It was so close, so close. Okay? This just came out of nowhere. You know, I know where it came from. But this is 2 years, our Christmas Eve service. It happened that morning, Christmas Eve service. And I didn't know what was going on. I just couldn't find my bearing. I couldn't even drive straight. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't walk straight. I was bumping into people. We had a dinner that day. Remember that? Church dinner. And I was walking down the hall and I was smacking into people. I'm like, what in the world did I just do? You know? And I mean, because everything's off. Everything's off. So I didn't know what was happening. So we had the dinner, you know, and then afterwards Lynn says, let's go to the emergency room. We got to get this thing checked out. See what's going on here. I went up and preached the whole service that morning. You know what I'm saying? A Christmas service. I didn't know what was going on. You know, I just thought, we'll get through this. Now, I didn't have any pain involved in this thing. So we went to the doctor and so forth, and I got a very, extremely, very bad report from the doctor. Okay? And I won't go into detail about that. I had negative thoughts coming to me like you wouldn't believe. I mean, like machine gun bullets, bam, 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 bam. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, I got a family, I got a wife, I've got kids, I got a church. I said, I'm not ready to leave this earth right now. You know what I'm saying? So here I am in Presbyterian Hospital in Oakland, and they're running all these tests on me and everything. And it's all negative stuff, you know? And doctors have a voice. We respect doctors, okay? We do. We respect them. But they're not final authority. I'm not going to let them prophesy my future. Okay? A few weeks later, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said that I needed to have brain surgery. Okay? I felt very uneasy about it. My family was all there. You know what I mean? And I told them, I mean, they're rushing in this. They're setting a date and everything for me. I'm not telling anybody what to do. This is what happened to me. They're setting up a date. We get to come in here and they have to cut your skull open, have surgery and take care of this thing, you know. I didn't have a piece about it. I didn't have a piece about it at all. We drove home from the doctors in Oakland. We're coming up Washington Road on Route 19 in Mount Lebanon. And I'm just thinking about everything, you know, and so forth. And all of a sudden, we're at this red light and somebody carries out somebody in a body bag. Out of an apartment complex. Never saw that in my entire life. Someone came out, a big black bag, and that's a body bag right there. Someone just moved out. And they're carrying them out. And so here comes a bad thought. You're next. Now, I'd never seen that before in my entire life. Okay? Don't tell me the devil didn't try to set me up with that. Okay? Now, this is on a Friday. We came home. And we sat in our family room, Lynn and I, and the kids were in there, and we're talking and so forth. And I'm talking about thoughts here, all right? And I've got all these negative thoughts coming at me and so forth. But I almost felt like, for lack of better words, I felt like I was going to vomit over the thought of having. I'm not afraid of having surgery. You understand that? But I just didn't feel peace about it. And the doctors were trying to push me into it. And I said, look, let me think about this. Let me think about this first. Now, I'm not telling him I'm going to pray about it because he's not a Christian. All right? And so the more I thought about it, the less peace I had about it that I was supposed to go through with a surgery. All right? Now, that night, Friday night, Keith Moore. How many of you like Keith Moore? Amen. Glory to God. Keith Moore was ministering on a Friday night. Normally he's in his church on Friday nights and he ministers. He happened to be in Mac Hammond's church in Minneapolis. And he had a 3 or 4 day meeting up there. So he's ministering on a Friday night. Well, they were telecasting that live on the internet. And so I'm watching Keith Moore. And Keith Moore is ministering under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And it was as if he stepped into my living room and sat down and told me exactly what to do. Okay? And the essence of what he said was this. He goes, the devil will try to back you into a corner. And he says, you got option number one and option number two. Okay? Two or three options. And Keith said this. He said, all three of them could be wrong. Okay? And he says, the essence was you have to follow your heart. You have to follow peace. And you have to do what God tells you to do. Okay? Are you with me now? And so I prayed about it some more. And I just had a peace about that I'm not supposed to go through with that. Now, that was 2 years ago. Okay? I'm totally healthy with that right now. And I'll continue to be healthy with that. But while I was in the hospital, I had those negative thoughts coming at me, those destructive negative thoughts. And when you're laying in the hospital, you got a lot of time to think. Now, I've sat under a lot of word through the years, deposit after deposit, meeting after meeting, sermon after sermon, thousands and thousands of sermons through the years. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started bringing up those scriptures in my heart and my mind. Start floating up here about the Word of God, healing scriptures. And under my breath, I just started to speak, by His stripes, I am healed. I would say it methodically, slowly, methodically. I would think about it. I wouldn't just like rattled off like a parrot, you know what I'm saying? Probably want a cracker. You know, but I would say, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. Fear, I resist you. And I wasn't screaming and shouting. I was just talking underneath. Nobody else could hear me. But under my breath, I'm saying, like Paul, or is it David said this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart become acceptable in thy sight. Amen? Notice the connection between the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart. So I begin to meditate. When you meditate, you're taking a thought, but you're taking the right thought. Worry is nothing more than meditation on the wrong thing. Okay? Now, bad thoughts can come two ways. It can come through just a thought coming to your head, or it can come through someone that speaks. And that carries a little bit more power. And that's why, and I totally respect the doctor. He's doing his best job that he can. I respect that. But you know what? In this situation, I had to take captive that thought because I had another thought inside me, you're going to be okay. Now, a week after that visit, We went down to Branson, Missouri. The Lord told us to go down, get in Brother Copeland's meeting. Brother Copeland personally laid hands on me. Okay? And I believe it was sealed. Glory to God. The whole thing was sealed. Glory to God. But I had to take those thoughts captive, those negative thoughts, all right, and replace those thoughts. It's not just a matter of pulling down a bad thought. It's you have to replace the negative thought with a thought from God. What are God's thoughts? His word. Okay? The devil says, you don't want to take that trip. You're going to die in an accident. You know, people, there's Christians that think like that. You don't want to get on that plane. You're going to die. I was talking to a friend of ours, you know, and they're born again, but they're not really walking with Christ, you know. And he was about to take his first plane trip, you know. And, man, he flew out somewhere out west, you know. And she said, man, he was white-knuckled the whole entire way. Man, just gripping the seat, you know. And it was like a 3-hour flight or something, you know. And it made me laugh in a way because we don't have to get all worked up about that. Praise God. There's more people that die in car accidents than there are in plane accidents, right? I mean, we're not gonna, right? On a statistic level. But the point I'm trying to make is this. We have to learn to take God's thoughts and put them in us, in our minds, and talk them and speak them. Let me give you an example because we're almost out of time here. you remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 was talking about, consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds of the air. Remember that? He said, did you ever see a bird worry? He said, your Father takes good care of them, right? He said, look, consider the flowers and so forth and so on. He said, Solomon in all of his glory of splendor and was not arrayed like one of these flowers. And Jesus went on to say, if God takes care of the flowers, and God takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. Amen? But he said this, and this is interesting. He said, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Remember that? So basically, Jesus said, when you take a thought, how do you take a thought? You say it. You say it. Now, what if you speak a wrong word? You thank God for the blood of Jesus. There's probably not a week that goes by that I don't have to ask the Lord to say, Lord, forgive me, make that word null and void in Jesus' name. I cover it with the blood of Jesus right now. Amen? Because sometimes we open our mouth and we say things that are bad. You know, we don't. I'm not talking about four-letter words. I'm talking about negative things about yourself. Okay? So we need to replace those negative, unproductive thoughts with God's thoughts. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a glorious outcome. And the great thing is today, folks, the most beautiful thing is you're the prophet of your own life. You are the prophet of your own life. What you say, it's not what others say about you. It's important. It's what you say about you. All right, Lord, thank you for that. Amen. You remember when Jesus came to his disciples, had a little private meeting with them, and he said, he asked this question. He said, who do men say that I am? Remember that? In Matthew 16, it's recorded. And some of the disciples spoke up and said, well, some say thou art John the Baptist, reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or Elijah, or one of the other prophets. Mm-hmm. Now, those are some pretty tall figures that, you know, I guess they believe in reincarnation because they're gone already. Mm-hmm. And that didn't satisfy Jesus. He said, well, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? What's I am? Mm-hmm. Moses said the Lord, when I go to the Pharaoh and his followers, and they ask, what's the name of your God? God told them what? I am that I am. Not I was or I will be. I am. Because I was is past. I will be is future. I am is present. When Jesus showed up, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the door. There's something like almost 20 I ams in the New Testament. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am your healer. And so Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Well, Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And the buzzer went off. Right answer. And Jesus said, you didn't get that from flesh and blood, by the way. He says, that came from my Father. Praise God. And that's what I'm going to build this church on, is revelation knowledge of the Word of God. Revealed knowledge from heaven. Glory to God. And so today, I believe that the Lord is asking us to say within ourselves, who do we say that God is to us? We hear what others are saying. You can hear what I'm saying or someone else is saying. But what you say about yourself has more power than what anybody else can say over you. See, I can stand here from morning till night and say, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. You are made whole in the name of Jesus. But if you don't believe it, it'll make my prayers of none effect. But if you rise up on the inside of you and you say, I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, inside and out, every organ small and big, however you phrase that. I am healed. Now, we don't have to wait to get sick to say that. We can say it every day. I say it pretty much every day, more than once. I say it over and over again. I am healed. I am delivered. I am rich. I am prosperous, according to the Word of God. Now you go to looking around, you say, it doesn't look like it, but you know what? That's okay. That's going to change. Because you are the prophet of your own life more than anybody else. Amen? Now, it's easy to be strong in faith when you're in church. You know, think about it. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, right? Well, it's a good thing he didn't say in church. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, in church. Because it's easy to say things in church, because we're in agreement here, you know what I'm saying? But when we step out these doors, and we go out to the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's what we're saying then that will determine our outcome. The Lord's asking us, who do you say? My daughter, my son, who do you say that I am? Praise God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed at all. Okay? One more scripture and we're out of here, okay? Philippians 4. Philippians 4, if you would. Excuse me. Chapter 4, verse 6. Here's another way of saying this. Thoughts control your actions. Your actions control your destiny. Thoughts control your actions, but your actions will control your destiny. And praise God, we can reverse the curse. We can turn it around. We can turn the ship around, praise God. Is this helping anybody? Amen. All right. So to overcome bad thoughts and things like this, we have to recognize where these thoughts are coming from, and we have to cast them down and say, no, no, no. Now, Kenneth Hagin used to say this, and I can't improve on it, so I'll just repeat it like he said it, because it's so true. He said, bad thoughts come, and they come to all of us. Okay? All of us. He said, even himself in the ministry. He said, but it's like this. He said, you can't keep birds from flying over your head. You have no control over that. You walk out of here today, bird, flock of geese or whatever, fly over your head. Amen? Hopefully that didn't eat. You know. Amen? One of them found my car the other day. I'm telling you what, there's a bomb on that car. You know what I'm saying? But he said, you can't help bad thoughts from coming to you any more than you can keep birds from flying over your head. But you do have control whether that roost in your hair make a nest in your hair. Oh, you got control of that part. Okay? He said, get off of me. Get off of me. You know what I'm saying? So thoughts are going to come. They're going to come and so forth. But, you know, just don't give them any life. Thoughts unspoken die unborn. You know what I mean? You ever get a crazy thought about someone or whatever? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that ain't my thought. That's not. I just ignore it. Praise God. Don't take it so seriously. They're like, oh, you know what I'm saying? But just take the word of God and plant that. Now look at this right here verse. It says Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now here's what I want you to see in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, now notice this phrase, think on these things. We'll stop right there. How do we, we talked about the origin of thoughts, where they come from, how to deal with them. But the best way to deal with bad thoughts is by continuing to put God's thoughts in your mind. Well, you know, brother, that meditation stuff, it seems like work. Well, yeah. But you know what? When you worry, you're working. You're losing sleep, tossing and turning. Got to take that sleeping pill. You know what I'm saying? Because worry takes energy, it takes work. Why? You're thinking about it over and over and over. But when you meditate on the Word of God, that Word gets on the inside of you. And let me tell you something, that Word will sustain you. It'll lift you up. It'll heal you. It'll provide for you. It'll give you the answers that you need. Let's give Him thanks. Hallelujah.